My name is Rob Chase. I'm running for county commissioner. I've been county treasurer for 8 years, and I was first elected in 2010. I took a two-term pledge at that time, and that time is up now, and the commissioner spot is open, so I'm going for it. I believe I've been a good county treasurer. I know I can be a good commissioner, too. There's a lot of things I learned being up that close as county treasurer. I know all the players. I know a lot of the legislators, all of them from this county and across the state, too. So I think that I took a lot of lean management courses in college, and I think, you know, we should look at every activity and decide, is it adding value or isn't it? And we should only concentrate on funding value-added activities. So in these times, you know, we went through the 2008 recession, which really never ended. I think we just papered over it. But I think hard times could be upon the county sometime in the future. You just have to be ready for those times and not be by a racetrack or, you know, some of these other things that, you know, just concentrate on, you know, your office and prioritize those things like public safety and roads and everything that we kind of need to have, and then keep it as lean as we can, and, you know, always be looking and talking to the people in those departments. Okay, what do you think is best thing that you need? And of course, you have to kind of weigh what you're going to hear, you know, because they're a little bit prejudiced being from their own departments. Every department, of course, is can't get blood out of a turnip, but still, I think you discourage business, and not to mention what you do to people's lives when you're raising taxes unnecessarily. So you have to treat it as if though it's your own checkbook, and what would you do? And I've had lean times too. I had to tighten my belt and, you know, just keep on going.
So before we get to county commissioner, you had mentioned, and I think I've talked with the other treasurer's candidates, there are several offices in the courthouse. The public really doesn't have much idea what they do. The assessor's office, I think, is one of those. Auditors, treasurer's is one of those. So what does the treasurer's office do?
Well, it's very simple. It's we collect the taxes, the property taxes, the sales tax, the real estate excise tax. And until it's needed by the different districts and the county, too, we invest it. So we invest over $1 billion on average right now. By state law, we're only allowed to invest mostly in bonds, so our yield hasn't been that high. But then you're not going for yield anywhere. You've got to, number one is safety. You've got to make sure the money's there that's budgeted for what is a year out. So we can actually go out 5 years on our investments, but in these times are sort of unpredictable. We're less than a year and a half average in what we do. But we actually have we do have the highest yield in the state of the counties. Spokane County does. So my deputy investment officer, John Christina, does an excellent job of, laddering all the investments and keeping a lot of liquidity in the investments too, so it's there when you need it.
So what have you done that you think has been pretty good in the treasurer's office that's worth talking about?
We've been under budget every year since I've been there, and I think that's important. And the thing I'm most proud of is it took a few years, but I finally got partial payments at any amount, any time passed. And that was a 3-year battle. I think everybody liked the idea except the other treasurers, you know, in the Treasurer's Association. Well, don't rock the boat, you know. And I didn't think they didn't want to give up that power, I think, because by state law, you could pay twice a year. You know, you pay April 30th, which, of course, most people did. But then the law was so old, you paid October 31st after your crops had come in when there's still a rural flavor to most of Washington. But I had a lot of people come to my office and say, gosh, I'm behind. I had a brain tumor, or my wife always handed the books, but she's has Alzheimer's. So can I just start making little payments and get caught up? And I'd have to say, no, I'm sorry. State law says you have to do the entire amount. But if you want to go to Olympia with me and change the law, I'm sympathetic with you guys. And some of them did go to Olympia with me, and they were like my poster children. And it passed unanimously, but it passed only because we made it up to the option of the county treasurer. And so far, I'm still the only county treasurer in the state of Washington that allows people to pay any amount at any time. And our cashiers love it. They don't have to send checks back that are over or under. They can just go ahead and deposit it. And the taxpayers, of course, themselves like it because some of them are seasonal. Some of them are on commission, and they don't have it all at the exact same time, but they can make payments that fit their budgets. So you know, I don't want to sit down and make a deal with them because I don't know what their budget is. They know what their budget is. And besides, the county never loses any money. If they do get behind, then the minimum bid at foreclosure is all the past due taxes, interest, penalties, and title search.
So you said that you think you'd be a good commissioner, but why do you want to be a commissioner?
Well, I think, you know, we all want to, if you recall, Maslow's needs hierarchy scale is kind of a self-fulfillment thing. I didn't know what kind of treasurer I would be, but my spokesperson called a couple of weeks after the election and said, sorry, we haven't gotten to you, but what's your goal? I said, I guess I just want to be remembered as a good treasurer. And I think I fulfilled that goal. And the same thing as commissioner. You know, I can't precisely say, well, this is what I'm going to do on land use, this is what I'm going to do on public safety. You have to almost be in there. But I think I've done a good job as treasurer. I'm pretty well read. I think a commissioner should have a general breadth of knowledge, and I do. I've had a lot of different jobs in my lifetime. This is the first time I've worked for government since Army Reserves in the 1970s, so I've been in private industry a lot. But, you know, a lot of times you're there for a number of years, then they don't need your product anymore, and you get laid off, and you start over again. So, you know, I got into real estate and insurance and banking and, of course, manufacturing, too. I worked at Hewlett-Packard for 8 years. I started out working at Bunker Hill and Sunshine Mines, you know, in Kellogg. But it all kind of came together as treasurer in government because you need that breadth of experience. One thing I did recently, and just last week, in fact, that's never been done before, I have a lot of firsts. I'm the first person I know of that actually won as a write-in, you know, in the primary. I'm also the first Republican treasurer since 1956. One thing I did too that was a first
in the county.
In the county, yes, Spokane County. Okay. And then one thing I did was I filed for coordination with the Attorney General on the purchase of Avista by Hydro One. Now, no one really seemed to know what was going on there. Talked to the other elected officials. They were just vaguely aware of it, but I was with a group that started researching it, and it looked like our rates could actually triple, you know, like the rates in Ontario. And I did not see any public benefit out of the entire undertaking, and yet you're turning over your rates to a foreign government, Ontario in this case, and it just didn't seem right to me. So in the 1970 National Environmental Policy Act, there's a small thing in there called coordination, and it requires federal agencies and state agencies to coordinate with local officials before they proceed to make sure there's no undue harm done to them because of anything they might, you know, be doing or impacting the local residents. I saw the possibility of, you know, could be a threat to the tax base as businesses and residents were paying a lot higher electrical rates. Well, would you know, if you're going to pay to keep your kid warm when he's sick, you know, are you going to pay that? Or are you going to pay your property taxes where you can go out 3 years and all that? So I saw the need to do that, and I filed, like I said, with the Attorney General to force the Washington Utilities and Transportation Commission to coordinate with myself and other local residents before the thing could move on.
And they've pushed it out 4 months now that the uncertainty regarding what's going on in
Ontario. Well, the strange thing wasn't it? I started this process a few months ago, and it finally came to its fruition on Monday. But in the meantime, the new provincial governor of Ontario fired the CEO of Hydro One, and the entire board resigned. So that definitely put a speed bump in the process. And then it was a good opportunity to do this because usually they coordinate with local officials at the very beginning, and that hadn't been done. So we're forcing them to do that.
Mm. Several years ago, you had mentioned you ran as a libertarian for some other offices. So now that you've been in government, has it changed your political views any now that you've been 8 years on the inside?
Well, yes. You know, I liked a lot of the libertarian precepts. I can't have my rights unless I'm willing to extend them to others. That sounded to me like the golden rule. And, you know, I like free market solutions to things. I also like the non-aggression clause. You know, when I ran against George Nethercutt in 2002, I said, hey, this is going to be a big mistake going into Iraq. You know, there weren't any Iraqis or Afghans on those planes that flew into the Twin Towers. So why are we invading? And I think I was right $7 trillion later. You know, there was really, having been, you know, remembering Vietnam, you know, almost getting drafted for that long ago, you know, I follow it pretty – and it looked like another – you know, I believe in a strong defense, but we shouldn't send our troops off on a fool's errand. So I still have those precepts, but I now I've kind of moderated. If you really need something like electricity or water, I think there has to be a public solution like a utility to that. If you, for instance, we need schools, you have to have public schools. Now, I'm all open to homeschoolers and private schools competing with that because I think that makes public schools themselves be better through competition. I believe in, you know, the competition strategy of libertarianism. But libertarianism really shouldn't be a political party. It's more of a philosophy, and you get into it, nobody's pure enough. You know, we'll sit down, have meetings, and pretty soon we're arguing about the Civil War.
So are there things you've seen from the inside that you think Spokane County offers in terms of services along this line of libertarianism that it doesn't, that it's not, it shouldn't be in the business of?
Well, you know, I think we have to help the helpless. You know, that's something I want to look at before, you know, the community services and how many people really need that kind of help, and talk to the people that are in there. They see a darker side of life than I do. So I'm sympathetic to them. And there should be a safety net, you know, that's out there too, even at the county level. But just, you know, the intergovernmental fundings of things from the state and federal government. And I worry with the condition of the federal government. I mean, $20 trillion debt. And suddenly they come up with $21 trillion they can't find if you've been following the studies from Michigan State. So, you know, I think like the last 10 years, we're just papering things over again. We're at a triple bubble if you look at real estate, bonds, and the stock market too. So, you know, a county doesn't – it's just not like its own thing. It's affected by other things. It's affected by what happens in Greece, you know, or Russia or other places like that. It seems to – since we become more global, things are a lot closer home. So I think someone has to be aware, well-read, and understand what's going on in the future. Also, like I said, safety is number one. I kind of wanted to see if we could change the law so we could invest in – other conservative investments too, and not just have, you know, all of our eggs in one basket, meaning bonds. You know, maybe we could invest in other currencies or stock indexes or, you know, things like that. But I didn't get very far with that because, oh no, you're you know, just don't, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know, that attitude.
So the legislature this year mandated and the governor signed a bill that will expand Spokane's County Commission from 3 to 5 within a few years. What's your thoughts
on
that?
Well, I'm all for it, and I'll tell you why. The three commissioners we had when I was there would always vote as a triumvirate. You know, there really wouldn't be any debate on there. They would just all vote yes because they decided that in executive session. So I liked the days back with Phil Harris and John Roskelly and Bonnie Mager, and, you know, they would, and Kate McCaslin, where they'd argue up at the top. You know, it's great to have debate like that and maybe convince someone, you know, of how you believe, and the public can see that too. So I have a friend, Karen Kearney, who tried that about 10 years ago to go from 3 to 5 commissioners. I said, let's try it again. So we did introduce it, and they put it on the ballot, I think it was in 2014 or 15, and it failed, and I can understand why, because then the Democrats, so what's the point, you know? If the races are decided in the general countywide, it's still a Republican county. We're never going to have any representation. So, you know, I'm sympathetic to that. So I do like diversity, you know, from there, a lot of different chefs, you know, make a – I don't know if they make a good salad or whatever. you know, too many chefs. There's always – if you've come up with one of these things, you always find something opposite of it. But I do think when you have more people, you have more input, more ideas. And the other thing, too, is Spokane County has 500,000 people. So each commissioner is representing directly or indirectly 167,000 people. And you look at the other counties in eastern Washington, they average 15,000 people, you know, 10 times less than we do here. So it's hard for someone who wants to talk to a commissioner to get in. I mean, they say they do it, but how much time do they actually give these people to understand what their problems are? So I think it's better for representation, and especially at the local level. Sometimes I think some of the Democrat commissioners we had were actually more fiscally conservative than some of the Republican ones we've had too.
Are you a good fit as a Republican?
I try to call them as I see them. Generally, I'm conservative. I'm a paleo-conservative.
I've never heard of that.
Really?
What is a paleo-conservative?
The old type of conservative.
Okay.
You know, there's some of those back in Robert Taft, for instance. The guy who used to write for the Baltimore Sun.
H.L. Mencken.
H.L. Mencken was one of those guys. And Ron Paul, of course, who I really liked, you know, was like the paleo conservative, the old type of conservatives, you know,
who,
smaller
who ran
government.
As a libertarian.
Who ran as a
president,
libertarian, yeah. Okay. So I think we had shared a lot. In fact, I got to be the Eastern Washington coordinator for Ron Paul, but, you know, I don't think they just weren't ready for him. It was kind of like the swamp they talk about. He just got no press or bad press, even though I thought he had a lot of good ideas. You know, here's a guy who should have been the perfect Republican. You know, he was a veteran. He was a doctor. He had family values and an intellectual, and but yet they wouldn't even allow him on the stage at the convention to speak too. So this time I think the same thing sort of almost happened with Trump, and except he tweeted around them. He tweeted around the press, so and he got his following from amongst the people. So it's a big surprise to people. But every party has their factions. I think there's a faction, of course, with Bernie and Hillary too. A lot of people, and I think that's partly why Trump won was because a lot of the Bernie people didn't like Hillary because they felt that Hillary had stolen, you know, the candidacy from Bernie. So when the newspapers kept saying, well, you know, 93% chance Hillary's going to be elected, well, why should I vote for her if she's going to win anyway? So that helped Trump quite a bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're about 16 minutes in. Were there any issues that I didn't ask you about, Rob, that you wanted to talk about? Anything in particular that you were?
Oh, no, I do advocate for more transparency there. You know, we had the emergency management system thing that we paid $70 million for. I mean, 0.1% doesn't sound like a lot, but it was $70 million over 10 years, and it just got renewed again, you know, by a high margin. So that's $130 million over the next 10 years. But I thought I asked for an executive summary before I signed the bond issue, and I didn't get one. And I don't know why. It would have taken them a day to prepare, but the treasurer does not have as much pull, I would say, as a commissioner does, who has control over budgets. So I would like to, you know, delve more into county things and make sure people can feel like their money is being spent well.